We sure are proud of the veterans here at Berean Baptist Church, and we had, I believe, 12 came up this morning, and I would like our veterans who are here tonight that were not here this morning, I want you to come forward if you would, please. I know of one, Brother Campbell. Is there any others? Brother Hawkins, of course. Brother White. All right. Once you guys give your name, rank, and serial number, all right? Just like we usually do. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. All three of you come up and just give that. And
okay, I was E5. My serial number is 16731375.
Amen.
It's in my heart.
Amen. Just stay up here. Just stay up here.
Carol Hawkins, United States Navy, Radioman Second Class. My serial number is 521-7821. And I served in the Dewline Defense System on the Atlantic Coast. And I just thank the Lord for all the people that remember their military men.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Hawkins. Thank you. Darrell
White, United States Air Force, E4, 350-466-405, and Crash Rescue Fire Department.
And amen. Let's give these heroes a hand. That's what we did this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a blessing. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Luke 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, I pray you'll bless the preaching tonight. Please speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be thankful. You're such a wonderful God, such a great God. You do so much for us. Help us to be thankful for all that you do. And help us, Lord, to be thankful in everything. You said, in everything give thanks. And so I pray that you will work in our hearts and our lives and speak to us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme for such a time as this, and for November, a time for Thanksgiving, we've looked at the thanks of Thanksgiving, the testimonies of Thanksgiving, the thinking of Thanksgiving, the tributes of Thanksgiving, that was this morning, and then tonight I want to talk to you about the thanklessness of Thanksgiving. Sad to say, that is something that comes around at Thanksgiving, thanklessness. In other words, people who are not thankful. It comes around at Veterans Day. It is, as Brother Hawkins said, it's becoming, very, very popular to just kind of ignore Veterans Day. It's kind of popular to just pretend that it didn't even happen. And certainly there are many that, who's for war? We don't like war, but yet we like our freedom, don't we? And as we talked this morning, freedom isn't free. People paid the price, and we need to be thankful. We need to tell them thank you and tell people thank you who do things for us. In our text, we have 10 lepers, and every one of them was cleansed of their leprosy. But only one, according to verses 15 and 16, only one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. I often wonder, the other 9, what in the world did they do? I mean, woohoo, we're healed, and then they just ran off. But one. By the way, that's how a lot of us are with our God. He saves us. He keeps us. He blesses us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He heals us. He does all these things for us. And yet, I wonder if the percentage is about the same. 1 out of 10 actually stop and thank God for what he does. And Jesus' response, well, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where's the other 9 that were cleansed? And so as we think about the month of Thanksgiving and a time for Thanksgiving, we have to include thanklessness. Because thanks is mentioned over and over in the Bible, but thanklessness is also mentioned. I want to show you 4 things tonight, and I will go quickly, but 4 things tonight about the thanklessness. And the first one is the shame of thanklessness. Number 2 is the sin of thanklessness. Number 3 are the steps of thanklessness. And number 4, the sorrow of thanklessness. Number 1, the shame of thanklessness. Notice in verse 18, what is really taking place here is there are not found that returned to give glory to God. When we're not thankful, we are missing out on an opportunity to give God glory that is due his name. I mean, come on, 10 lepers are healed, but only one says, thank you. Only one says, to God be the glory. Only one says, hey, God did this. I didn't do this. Only one. Did you save yourself? No, none of us can. Did you provide everything? No, God has provided. God's taken care of us. God has done all these. And we rob ourselves. The shame of thanklessness is we don't give God the glory. Notice and compare with Romans 1 and verse 21. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And notice what goes right along with it. Neither were thankful. They glorified him not as God. In other words, kind of like the day we live in where man is the measure of all things. And, you know, man can do everything. And we seem to think that anyway. And we just kind of push God. We don't need God. You know, there was a day that it was important for people to say, in God we trust. And now, oh, good. I mean, they're trying to get rid of that all over the... Well, you can't use God's name. And it again, what's it doing? The shame of thanklessness is it robs God of his glory. Here in Romans 1, it talks about a God consciousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God says, I put within every man a God consciousness. It's manifest in all men. So they are without excuse. And so if we're conscious of God, shouldn't we be giving God the glory? I mean, if we realize there is a God, and you say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir here. I mean, we're all Christians, and but why wouldn't we give thanks to God day in, day out? Why would we simply go through the motions of a day and not stop and thank God for all that he does? And there's a God consciousness in all men, and especially the Christian. We know him, and yet we oftentimes we miss out on saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. As I've been talking and spoke last week, thank you, Lord, that the blood flows through my body. When's the last time you just thank God for blood? Yours. Amen. You know, thank God the result of the blood flowing and oxygen getting to all the parts of our body. And it's all pumped by that heart that isn't hooked up to any kind of electricity. No gas motor is keeping it going. I mean, honestly, what in the world keeps this thing going? And then a mind that goes beyond any computer that man has even thought about. You know, a nervous system that is remarkable. Sight, hearing, being able to walk, being able to run, being able to jump, being able to grasp, being able to feel, to touch, and praise God. When is the last time you just said, thank you, Lord? And you see, the shame of thanklessness is we use all these things day in, day out. You say, no, you know, I don't do all that. I promise you, your heart's beating right now. And if it's not, you've got problems. We use all these things over and over and over. Our body, we breathe. We breathe in oxygen, and thank God for oxygen. Amen. And we breathe, and our heart beats, and the blood is pumped, and we see, and we touch, and we taste, and we hear, and all these things, and we speak, and all these things are taking place over and over, and the shame of thanklessness is we don't glorify God. And by far the majority of the world ignores God. And so many now today curse God. And all these things are going on. All these things are happening just with one body, our body. And the Bible says we're made in His image. And it's manifest to us. There's a consciousness of that. We can love. We can serve. We can do right. And we should give Him the glory in everything we do. The shame is 1 out of 10 here. We read this story and we say, wow, that's hard to believe. And I just wonder what that is as a percentage of Berean Baptist Church. 1 out of 10, the shame of thanklessness is it robs God of the glory due unto Him. It robs Him of His glory. And by the way, when somebody does something for you, I'm sure they didn't do it for glory, but shouldn't they get some glory? Just like the veterans that came up today, and as we watched, especially this morning, as people were clapping, I saw tears. Because people did something. They sacrificed something. And we owe it to them, as I preach, honor upon honor. And when people do something for us, you know, it's a shame if we won't recognize and give them credit and give them honor. Veterans, parents. You know, young person, you say, well, it's not Father's Day. I don't need to listen to me. You know, well, but it's not Mother's Day. I did something for Mom every day. Every day. You have a roof over your head? You have food at the table? You have a nice cozy bed to sleep in? Do you have heat in your home? I mean, come on, all the things, clothes on your back. All the things that a mom and dad, all the things they do for you, all the things grandma and grandpa have done, as we talked this morning, the older folks in the church and older people, it's a shame. The shame of thanklessness is it robs them of the glory they deserve, just as we rob our God of His glory. And by the way, when a Christian does something, when a Christian serves, when a Christian is on a bus route, a Christian is teaching a Sunday school class, a Christian is doing, do you understand? They only can do that because of the glory of God, because of what God did in their life. I mean, if it's not for God saving them and changing them and making them a new creature, they're out here in the world doing what the rest of the world's doing. When's the last time you just thank God for the nursery worker? Thank God for the person that shook your hand at the door. Thank God for the Sunday school teacher. And just again, the shame of thanklessness, ultimately, it robs God of His glory. Number two is the sin of thanklessness. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof from such turn away. And in this list of sins, we see things we recognize, blasphemy and disobedience and all of that. And you know, we see these kind of, but right there it is, unthankful. Unthankful. You say, well, I wouldn't think that's as bad as being unholy. I wouldn't think, I mean, without natural affection, that's talking about the sin of homosexuality. I mean, come on, preacher. I mean, false accusers and those are really bad, but unthankful is in that same list. It's because there's a sin of thanklessness. It is a sin, just like these things are a sin. Notice Luke 6 and verse 35. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. And you'll notice what unthankfulness or thanklessness is tied to here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. It says, "But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." And unthankful. I mean, you say, come on, preacher. I mean, honestly, I don't say thank you very often. I don't tell people thank you, and I'm not thankful to God like I should be, but that's not so bad. It's a sin. God says it's a sin. It's as much a sin as somebody stealing and lying and cheating and murder. It's as much a sin as disobedience and blasphemy and all these different things that are listed in here. It is a sin to not give God the glory that is due unto his name. If a man never lied, if a man never cheated, if a man never stole anything, if a man never murdered anybody, if a man never committed fornication or adultery, if he's unthankful, he's as bad as those other things. That's what God says. It's a sin. You know, for us to walk around and say, well, you know, I don't smoke and I don't drink liquor and I don't do drugs and I don't cuss and you know, give our little list of the things. But when is the last time you just stopped and thanked God for what he did? Thank God that you got up. Had somebody tell me that after last week said that they got in their car and started their car and they actually thanked God that their car started. And it wasn't because the car was having trouble. It was just, hey, hallelujah, my car started. You know, why don't we thank God for these things? Because again, let's understand there is a shame of thanklessness. Number two, there's a sin of thanklessness. And number three, I want to show you the steps of thanklessness and what I believe is what happens to us. And Romans 1 is kind of a downhill fall. Romans chapter 1, we can see it so clearly how it all started. And by the way, in Romans 1 verse 18, it talks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then it takes this kind of a downhill run on the steps of being thankless. How does it happen? What happened? Notice verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And you have to understand, this is how it ends up. And it all started with verse 21. Neither were thankful. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. You know, the list there, that's a terrible list. And you say, boy, you know, I wouldn't want to end up in there. Well, being unthankful puts you in the same category, but this is the unthankful person. This is how it ends up. And so I wrote down three steps that you take, and once we get through these, we'll be just about done. First of all, we forget good. Happened all the time. In other words, something good is done, and we forget about it. We just forget. We forget good. Read your Old Testament. You will see the children of Israel over and over. God says they forgot. They just forgot. God did this. Oh, and then they forgot. God delivered them from the Red Sea. They forgot. God got them out of Egypt. Oh, yeah, but later on we forgot. I mean, even the children of Israel, they as they're wandering around, they're saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? They forgot. How do you forget the whips of the taskmaster? How do you forget? That's why, you know, honestly, every opportunity you have to give your testimony, it's a good thing to do. Amen. Do not forget that God saved your soul. You haven't always been a Christian. You haven't always been a new creature. You haven't always been born again. Don't forget. It was September of 1923. And there was a huge earthquake in Japan, and the resulting tsunami and fire, and it was unbelievable, covering 45,000 square miles of Japan were affected. Literally 7 million people were affected somehow by this earthquake. Every building, they say, in Yokohama was destroyed. Three-fourths of Tokyo was destroyed. 300,000 people died in the earthquake of 1923 in Japan. 2,500,000 people were homeless. You can imagine disease was spreading everywhere. United States of America immediately went to work getting food, clothing, medical supplies, and hundreds and thousands of volunteers. The U.S. Red Cross alone raised $10 million to go to Japan and help Japan through this disaster. You've heard this story before because you've heard the words that were said by the Japanese in 1923. Japan will never forget. And 18 years later, December 7th, 1941, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. 18 years later. Oh, we'll never forget. They forgot. They forgot. How sad when we forget.
Amen.
We forget. Japan will never forget. But they did. Jeremiah 2:32, God says this, my people have forgotten me days without number. We forget the good things that God does for us. Yeah. It's like the young person thought they had good parents until they listened to some worldly rebels talk, till they listened to some worldly rebellious music. They thought their I always thought my parents were pretty good until you heard things that made you forget about all the good that your parents have done. I understand there's parents that have done some bad. I understand that. But I'm not talking about, I'm talking to some folks, you know, you get this idea, well, that was a long time ago they did. But how do you forget that? How do we forget? Well, World War II was a long time ago. And thank God for those who went, who sacrificed, who paid the price during World War II. Yeah. You know, I don't know how many times in the secular world, I remember working at RCA and people lining up trying to get a job at RCA. And I remember they were desperate and men were just begging to be able to get in that line and try to get that job at RCA. And they thought it was a good job until they got poisoned by the venom of gripers and complainers after they worked for just a little while. They thought it was a good job. Oh, we're so thankful to have this job. And just a matter of months, and they're with everybody else griping, complaining about the job. You see, it all starts when we forget good. We forget the good somebody. We let anything and everything pull us aside and get us to forget about that good. It's how parents, honestly, you know, a parent says, I don't understand why my child says the things they say. It's because they've forgotten the good. Second thing, in the steps of thanklessness, not only do we forget good, but we forsake glory. We forsake glory. What do you mean? Romans 1:21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. You see, as soon as we forget somebody did something for us, we all of a sudden start taking credit ourselves. And we forsake the glory of God. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. All of a sudden now, hey, I have my job because of me. Hey, I'm doing well in school because of me, because I'm just real smart. We have these things because I work hard, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I'm an American because, well, just because I'm so good. Instead of, oh God. Oh, God, thank you for giving me this job. Thank you for giving me the health to work this job. And we forsake the glory. You see, they became vain. Humanism leads to vanity, emptiness, and a man thinking somehow he's the measure of all things. Our list in 2 Timothy, it talks about being lovers of their own selves. And that's what secular humanism is leading us to. It's loving man. Why would we want to love ourselves? Because then we don't love God. Why would we thank God if we somehow think we did it? Why would you thank God for your car if somehow you think you worked so hard and that's why you have that thing? The Bible says their foolish heart was darkened. And those who should receive glory are replaced by other things, and usually by the person. We talked about honor to whom honor, and instead we've replaced with leaders who loathe the military. You know, that's why so many kind of wonder about Veterans Day. They kind of hesitate about Veterans Day because we've had leaders, they've gotten up and they've stood in front and said, we loathe the military. We forsake glory. We don't want to honor people anymore. You know, most marriage problems are because somebody loves themselves more than they love the one they're supposed to love. It's home problems. It's a child who loves himself more than he loves his mom and dad. We get this attitude, what about me? What about me? What about my feelings? What about... And again, we forsake the glory. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for all you've given us. We've replaced those who should receive glory. Some hesitate. We have heroes up on the platform, and people kind of hesitate, you know. But you'll clap for some basketball player. Clap and cheer and act silly over somebody who really, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe they've worked hard. Maybe they haven't. Honestly, if you're 7 foot tall, you probably will do pretty well in basketball. You need to ask Brother Chase about the two boys that were going to start coming to our school that were 7 foot tall. He was so excited. Brother Poor is now, I wonder what that's about. You know, I've heard people say, I'll never clap for a man of God, but you cheer for a rock star, some Hollywood person. Again, we forsake the glory. We push it aside. And those who have glory due, it's forsaken. How's it start? We forget the good they've done. we forsake the glory. And then the last thing is we fault God. Because ultimately, folks, honestly, all complaining is against God. Here's why you have a thankless Thanksgiving. Here's why when we say, who has a testimony? Who has a praise? Who wants to thank the Lord? Because here's deep down what's really going on in our hearts. We fault God for things that did not go the way we wanted them to go. Ultimately, okay, oh, I can't believe it's raining. Well, who do you want to blame? You have to understand that there is always somebody wanting it to rain. And as you're begging God that it not rain on your picnic, some sweet little old lady over here is praying that God will make it rain for her garden. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, seriously, we need to quit blaming God. Oh, I can't believe it's snowing. Well, no, it's not yet, but it is. It's gone to, it will, it's Michigan, you know? Oh, it's just so hot. Oh, it's just so cold. And we let's just be honest when we complain who we're talking to. Why don't you just be honest? Hey, this is all your fault. Or what you could do is you could say, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the snow. As our children do every morning when it's foggy, thank you, God, for the fog. Amen. Because the children of Israel, that's what it all came down to, didn't it? Over and over again, they blamed God. This is God's fault. Job said this to his griping wife. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Good question, isn't it? Yeah, but what about me? What about how I feel? What about my emotions? What about telling God you just don't like it? Just be honest. Quit pointing your finger at everybody else and just say, God, I don't like it. And be honest. And get on an altar and spend some time. Get down at your couch at 2 o'clock in the morning and just say, God, I just don't like it. Okay, fooey with all the other stuff. You're just messing around. Just be honest with God and say, God, I just don't like it. And then let him deal with you however he sees fit. As long as when you get up, you're saying, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've heard our stories about our dog, Scout. Some of you met Scout. He was a nice, friendly dog. When he was a puppy, he was typical puppy. And he loved to bark at everything and anything. And he did a lot of strange things. We have a lot of funny stories about Scout. But you've heard me tell the story about when he was real small, just a little puppy, I had a paint stirrer that I used to teach him. Truth. And so this paint stirrer, he would 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd decide to just bark. You know, I've never minded a dog that barks when people are trying to break in or somebody's trying to burn the house down. You know, a reason. If the dog has a reason to bark, it should bark. But he just would bark. He's a puppy. And he'd whine and he'd bark and I'm trying to sleep and I'm thinking, shut up, dog. What are you doing? So I had a discipline tool called a paint stirrer, and I would go out, and my wife would say, honey, and Angela, you know, and I'd use it on her. And David would say, go, Dad, go. No, but I got that paint stirrer, and we started having routine meetings with the paint stirrer. Now, I did tell you later on, he got so big, I had to use a 2x4, but very rare. We didn't have to use it too much. But I say all that because I remember so clearly that paint stirrer. And I remember using that on him. And there's a, God gave dogs, just like he gave humans, a spot where the paint stir is to be applied. And so I found that spot, and I used it often. But it was funny, because there were times that I would come out with that paint stir, and I would have a, and he would jump up and he would bite at the paint stir. And it was whose side are you on? And so it was so funny, because he would grab a hold of the thing. Now here's the funny thing about that. That paint stirrer wasn't doing anything. If he'd have been smart, he'd have grabbed my leg. The paint stirrer didn't ever do anything to him. And he's trying to tear it to pieces. But the guy holding it, that's who he was really mad at. Oh, yeah. But you know, he became smart. Because you know what he did? He finally submitted. He submitted. You know, there's Christians all over who are going after the paint stir. I mean, you're after that paint, you know, that thing, that problem, that trial, that tribulation, that valley in your life. You are after that thing. You're so mad at that thing, it has ruined your life. You're bitter, you're angry, you cannot sin. I hate that thing! But I got news for you. That paint stir, that thing, it's nothing. You know who you need to go after? God. The one who is using that thing in your life. The one who is using it. And when you go after God, what you need to do is fall on your knees and say, I surrender.
Amen.
I surrender all. I give up, God. I give up. Instead of going through the rest of your life blaming the paint stirrer, the thing, the trial, the problem, the disappointment, the death, the sickness, whatever it is. Instead of going through the rest of your life blaming, just God, you allowed this in my life. Just about done. 2 Samuel 16, verse 5. 2 Samuel 16 and verse 5. Great passage, scripture. 2 Samuel 16, 5. David is fleeing from the rebellion that has come from Absalom. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Again, David is running. David is fleeing, fleeing for his life. And this man comes out. Verse 6, and he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. The Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. And he mocks David and throws stones at him. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. I love it. The king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. In other words, I got it a whole lot worse than this fella throwing rocks at me. I got stuff on my heart that are so much tougher than somebody throwing some rocks. I got burdens that are beyond that. My son, he says, how much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden. What's he saying? He's saying, God, I yield. I don't understand why this is happening, but God, I will not blame you. And look what he says. It may be. This is how God works, folks. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Let him throw rocks. Let him kick up the dirt. Let him curse. Let him say what he wants to say. Let him. Because God obviously is letting him do it. And if God's going to let him do it, because ultimately, folks, honestly, if it's raining on your head, God let it rain. If it's snowing, God let it snow. If it's bad, God let it be bad. And if Shimei is going to curse me, David said, then I guess God is going to let him do it. And somehow, my God is going to take care of me. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to thank God all the way through. Isn't that good? I love it. And you see, when you're in the valley, when you're in the midst of the trial, when the fire rages all around you, you know, ultimately, quit biting at the paint stir and just fall on your knees and say, I submit to you, God. Amen. If this is what you want. Truth of the matter is, folks, I doubt that anyone in this room is ever going to be hung on a cross. But our Savior was. And so the steps of thanklessness, we forget the good, we forsake the glory, and we fault God. And that brings me to the very last thing, and that's number four, the sorrow of thanklessness. We've seen the shame, the sin, the steps. Number four, the sorrow, because it's a sorry life to not be able to praise God. It's a sorry life to not be able to rejoice. Oh yeah, but we've been beaten and we're in the prison and we're in Philippi and we thought God was going to do some great thing and instead we're in prison and it hurts and we've been beaten but we're just going to sing, said Paul and Silas. What a contrast. You could name many, many stories. I think about the prodigal son. And he was thankless. Dad, I want my living. I want my inheritance. I want it now. And his father gave him his inheritance. And he took off. And he did his own thing. And he spent his life, the Bible says, with riotous living. And he wasted everything. All the money, all that his father had given him, he wasted it. Because he was thankless. And then he found himself with nothing. And he found himself in the pig pen, eating the food the pigs wouldn't even eat. I don't know if it gets any lower than that. But when you're thankless, that's the sorrow of it all. To not be able to thank God for the sun shining, to not be able to thank God for the clouds. To not be able to thank God for the rain. To not be able to thank God for health. To not be able to thank God when our health isn't so good. But to be able to thank God for a good life. But to not be able to thank God for trials. To not be able to thank God for anything. To be so bitter, so angry at God, we don't even thank Him for the blessings of life. But you know, that prodigal son, as he was with the pigs one day, reaching for something a pig wouldn't even eat. The Bible says he came to himself. And what was the first thing he did? He remembered. My father. My father. My father. His servants are fed and clothed. And they have a roof over their head. My father. It's my father. And he remembered his father. If you find that your Thanksgiving month is a month of thanklessness, I would encourage you to come to yourself and remember what your father will do for you.